All right, everyone out there, place your bets.
The Atlantic City Podcast.
All right, Sand Crabs, we are rocking and rolling. Week number 22. It's got to be a good episode because it is one of my lucky numbers, and I just got one question for everybody out there. Are you ready? Let me ask that question one more time. I said, are you ready? So, then, for the one in attendance, in the dozens and dozens listening on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcast, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, let's get ready to place your bets! Yeah! Place your bets, the Atlantic City Podcast. Like I said, week number 22, I got my man, the one, the only, Big Ed McKeever returning, pulling the trifecta, returning back for the third time. And you know what? It's always a good time when Big Ed is on the show. We're going to be talking everything 100 Acres of Hell movie, which will have select releases in select theaters throughout select cities October 15th. We're going to talk about that movie. We're going to talk a little bit about the Matt Ratz movie as well as Atlantic City. Yeah, we break down some things about AC, and Big Ed surprised me. I mean, the man knows a lot about Atlantic City. He is just a wealth of knowledge for AC. He should be doing his podcast. I'll be honest, he knows more than I do, and he actually gave me a little motivation to go out there and start researching some things about AC. And you know what? I'm trying right now to do a lot of research on Atlantic City and maybe even post some This Date in Histories on the Twitter account and the Instagram account for Atlantic City. I don't know if it's going to be every day, but it's going to be, you know, a few days throughout the week at least. So stay tuned for that, because that's something I'm working on, and that was literally inspired by our conversation that we had a few days back. But on top of Big Ed being here this week, as always, we got a few things going on. The festivity rundown in Atlantic City. I got some news, which I will be breaking down first and foremost momentarily in AC. And, of course, for the bettors out there, for the sports bettors, sports gamblers out there, I have the sports betting section. We're going to be talking about NFL Game Day Sunday, week number 5. But before we do anything, I just want to plug all my social media out there so you can follow me if you like and support this podcast. First and foremost, I just conducted the Patreon raffle for October, and big congratulations to JC. She had won 2 tickets to the Fright Fest, Six Flags, New Jersey, Jackson, New Jersey, that is. Okay, good. Any day in October for the Fright Fest, I'm going to be getting in contact with her and also sending out those tickets via email or maybe through regular mail. I don't know yet. But if you want to be a part of the podcast and if you want to be a part of the movement and you want to support us, you can. You can go to patreon.com/placeyourbetsAC and pledge whatever you like. There's 4 different tiers, $2, $4, $22, and $27. There's different things that I provide everybody, all my Patreon supporters, for each of the tiers, so you can check that out. But listen, if you can, wonderful. If you can't, it's fine. Just as long as you're here with me, listening to this podcast, that means the world to me. But for the supporters that go the extra mile, every single month, I have a raffle. So the raffle is conducted usually at the end of every month or the beginning of the new month, and I give away something. Now, I don't know what next month's raffle is going to be yet. I'm going to figure that out by next week. I'm thinking about making it something festive because we're getting into the holiday season. It's not going to be as big as the first one with the 2-night stay at either the Hard Rock or the Borgata. It could be something along the lines of tickets. I don't know yet, but stay tuned for that. Okay, once again, patreon.com/placeyourbetsAC. We do have a YouTube channel. It's not the most prestigious YouTube channel out there. There's not a ton of videos on the channel yet. Every time I go down to AC, I get some footage, and I'm going to post it on the YouTube channel. But if you want to go check it out, you want to subscribe to it, you can. Just search Place Your Bets Atlantic City. Look for the logo, and bang, bada bing, bada boom. There it is. Subscribe if you like. You could follow us on Instagram at Place Your Bets AC and on Twitter at @bets_place. And with all that being said, well, I almost forgot, Facebook. We have a Facebook page. Like us on Facebook as well. I do go live on Facebook from time to time, especially during the raffles. I just went live on there at Place Your Bets AC. So, with that being said, I want to move on to some news and some interesting news this week in Atlantic City. Check this out. The Atlantic Club is sold to a New York firm. And I want to read an excerpt from this article right here from the Press of AC. It states, the real estate company that has owned the former Atlantic Club Casino Hotel for the past 5 years said it has sold the property to a New York-based investment and construction firm. TJM Properties of Florida said Tuesday it sold the shuttered casino hotel to Coliseo Atlantic City, Inc. A spokesperson for TJM said the sale was completed last week. Now, in quotes, we have made every effort to find a buyer who could realize the potential of the Atlantic Club Casino Hotel, said Matt Bradley, one of the heads of development and operations for TJM who handled the sale. We are confident that with their extensive experience in construction and redevelopment larger properties, Coliseo is the right company for the job. No sale price was provided. A deed transfer has not yet been recorded with the Atlantic County Clerk's Office. In quotes, we are looking forward to working in Atlantic City and restoring such a great property, Coliseo's principal Rocco Sebastiani said in a statement. A deed restriction preventing the property from operating as a casino remains in place. Sebastiani told the Associated Press he plans to operate the building as a non-casino hotel. In quotes, we're going to renovate the property and reopen it as an 800-room hotel with new retail and new food and beverage offerings, he said. Now, this is big. It's got a lot of renovating that needs to be done. That's what we do, he said. We buy assets that need a lot of work and bring them up to the market. The Atlantic Club closed in January of 2014 and was purchased 4 months later by TGM for $13.5 million from an affiliate of Caesars Entertainment Corp. TJM has come close to selling the property on several occasions. Now, you also got to keep in mind here, TJM, they still own the Atlantic City's Claridge Hotel. Now, that hotel is 89 years old, and it was also purchased from Caesars Entertainment in 2014 for $12.5 million. So, this is pretty big right here, and this is what we've been seeing a lot of in Atlantic City. Non-casino hotels. And it goes to show you the direction that AC is moving into and that it's been moving into, okay? Their focal point is no longer casinos. Their focal point is everything else. It's entertainment, shows, food, and hotel and their amenities. Because now, if you look at it, the Showboat, no longer a casino hotel, along with, obviously, the Claridge. And now you throw the Atlantic Club into the mix, it gives people, and especially people that just want to go there just for being in AC, just for the feel, the atmosphere, the beach. You know, it's like a beach resort. It's a cheaper beach resort with a multitude of things to do, a lot of shows going on, especially if you're there prime time between Memorial and Labor Day. Okay, it gives those individuals options that, look, we don't have to stay in a hotel that has a casino. You know, we don't like to gamble. We want to go for everything else. And it's going to be more affordable than some of the casino hotels. And it's right on the boardwalk. So this is pretty big. And, you know, I've never stayed at the Claridge. And I never stayed at the Showboat since it's been a non-casino hotel. So that's something I definitely have to do. I want to go down there for my next AC stay. And I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to stay at either the Showboat or the Claridge Hotel right on the boardwalk. And I'm gonna give it a shot. I'm gonna test it out. I'm gonna see how the feel is. Now, I like to gamble, but hey, listen, we're not that far from the other casinos, so I don't know. Maybe I'll do a little review, give my opinion as a gambler, how it's like to stay in a hotel right on the boardwalk that is a non-casino hotel, the perks of it, and you know what the hotel offers compared to all the other hotels that I stood in Atlantic City. So that's something that I'm going to be definitely doing sooner than later. Now, on the other side of things, I got some news for the gamblers out there. So, listen up. Loyalty programs, benefits, perks. Which casino hotel gives you the best benefits, the best perks for gambling at their casino? Now, my opinion, I've dealt with pretty much almost every casino in Atlantic City, and I think, honestly, that the Borgata gives me the best benefits because I don't have to gamble a lot, and I still get the free comp rooms Sunday to Thursday. You know, I get the free buffet for myself and a guest. I get free comedy show tickets. And again, I'm not gambling a lot over there. I may be losing a lot, but whatever I'm gambling, you know, is not too much. I go there with a budget. Now, other hotels, which kind of shocked me, Hard Rock specifically, not to throw anybody under the bus, but with me, and this is, again, this is only coming from me. I'm not saying that this is everybody. I've gambled over there numerous times this year, and I spent double than what I spent at the Borgata, and somehow I lost benefits. I don't know how this happens, but I was getting free rooms Sunday to Thursday. I was getting free buffets for me and a guest. I was getting extra things here and there, tickets or whatnot. Now, I get discounted room rates Sunday to Thursday. I get only one buffet just for me, no guests. I don't know how I go backwards, but somehow that had happened. But there's another hotel out there that introduced a new loyalty program, and I gotta say that there has been an abundant amount of people. There's a plethora of individuals who had told me, Jimmy, what are you doing? You have to check out this hotel. The rooms are amazing. The views from those rooms are stunning, unlike any other hotel in Atlantic City. And I gotta give it a shot. And that hotel? The Ocean. So check this out. New loyalty program at Ocean. Ocean Casino Resort will introduce a new player loyalty program beginning today, as I record this, Tuesday, October 1st. Replacing the current Ocean Rewards Club, the Ocean Wow Rewards Club will add a new chairman level for those players who accumulate or accumulated 300,000 or more points between October 1st and September 30th, earning period each year. Among the benefits are suite upgrades, a once monthly complimentary cabana at the Poseidon Pool, an annual $500 celebration dinner, and luxury gift selection, including a one-year lease on a Mercedes-Benz? What? Invitation to exclusive chairman events and more. Suite upgrades and complimentary cabanas require reservations, and blackout dates may apply. Now, tier levels from the current Ocean Rewards Club. Blue, 0 to 2,999 points. Gold, 3,000 to 14,999 points. Platinum, 15,000 to 74,999 points. In black, 75,000 to 299,999 points remain. Among the benefits at the platinum, black, and chairman levels are access to the VIP lounge. However, there is a 10 comp dollar per person charge for platinum cardholders, but black and chairman cardholders receive complimentary admission. Black and platinum card holders are limited to one guest, but chairman card holders may bring up to three. Gold and platinum card holders also get discounts on Carnival cruises, but black and chairman card holders receive an annual complimentary Carnival cruise. In addition to complimentary valet parking and reserve self-parking, black and chairman card holders do not pay a resort fee and also have access to the VIP reservation line and VIP check-in at the hotel. All card holders receive discounts at Rocco's Italian Kitchen and Cafe 500, ranging from the 5% for blue card holders and 10% for all others. For more information on Ocean's WOW Rewards Club and for the complete list of benefits and program rules, visit the Ocean Rewards Club or online at theoceanac.com. And, you know, I think about it right now. I'm like, you know, I'm trying to find that hotel that really gives me just benefits that supersede all the other hotels. And I guess, you know, each hotel specializes in different perks and different benefits or whatnot, and I haven't really got down to the nitty-gritty and figured out which one is going to be best for me, but I'm still out there searching. But this right here, I mean, this is for the high rollers here. You get that chairman. I mean, if you love to gamble, if you're in there more often than you're at your house, then hey, listen, you should be gambling at the Ocean, because it looks like they have really, really sweet deals, and no pun intended with that statement here. But again, something for everybody. You just got to find your niche in Atlantic City. And if you don't like to gamble, you have options. Like I stated before, you can go to the resorts, you can go to Claridge, and soon you will be able to go to the Atlantic Club. But with that being said, right now, I don't want to waste no more time. I'm going to get right into it. The interview with Big Ed McKeever. Here we go. Take it away, Big Ed. All right, sand crabs, get ready. Sit tight. Grab a cold one, whether it's a beer. Maybe a nice coffee, something, a bottle of water if that's what you're drinking. Because right now we're pulling the trifecta. I got Big Ed McKeever on the line right now for the third time. And I'll tell you what, we're going to have him many, many more times right here. Ed, welcome back to the show, buddy. How you doing today?
Hello, my brother, Jimmy J. How are you?
I'm excited. I'm excited to have you on, man. It's Halloween season.
Yes.
This is the Halloween series I got going on. And what a better guest. There's nobody better. Nobody better than you.
Thank you, my brother. I don't know. You have some pretty good competition there. You had Worcester. Give me some more info. I forget the name. Worcester.
Nightmare. I can't even say it right. I said the same thing. I said Worcester. You corrected me. Worcester. Nightmare Worcester. Yeah.
Nightmare Worcester.
I had him on there, Freddy Krueger. I had nightmares. You know that.
You did?
Yeah. A couple days, man. I mean, I said, please, I swear, I'll get the name right. I had him on. I had Mikey Bones from Slasher Radio.
Yes.
And I'm just excited, man. I'm excited about the season. I love Halloween. What about you? Yeah. I know you have to.
Brother, I love it. Halloween is like Christmas to me. I mean, I love Christmas, but Halloween has a special place in my heart because, you know, I'm just a 40-something-year-old horror kid now, man.
No, I hear you, man. I hear you. I mean, listen, you're never too old to be a horror fan.
That's right.
And that's it. And, you know, I got to tell you, man, I'm excited about, I think it's a week. Are we a week away from the premiere for 100 Acres of Hell?
A little over a week away, about a week and a half. Yeah, a little over a week. They're going to be showing 100 Acres of Hell. We're so excited. Thank you to Indikin Pictures, our distributor. They're going to be showing the film in 8 or 10 cities around the U.S., including Coaldale, P.A., in October, which is the hometown of Gene Snitsky, our lead in the film. So a lot of the actors and talent are going to be there for that screening. And although they haven't announced the cities yet, I'm here in L.A., New York, Chicago. So, yeah, man, we're excited. For a small little independent film to get that kind of screening opportunity ahead of the DVD and digital release is absolutely outstanding and amazing.
Man, you just said New York? That's on the list?
That's what I hear, brother. I hear New York. I hear Chicago, L.A. I heard a couple places. And then forget about it. The digital screening and the DVD. And I can't say too much yet because I'm kind of getting it secondhand and all. But they've dubbed the film in so many different languages. So it's going to be available in Asian countries and European countries and, wide-scale distributors. Like, I can't say exactly which ones. But they names at us or floated names at us of huge distribution places. So, man, we're really excited, brother. As soon as we have the info, we're going to post it to the page, share it with everyone, because we can't wait to get the word out.
Man, you know I will, man. I share everything that you guys post up there, man, because you know what? I support people that actually do something, you know, that I not only I enjoy, but that are hardworking people and that are doing something that benefits everybody and for everybody's entertainment. And I know you as a person, you know, I've talked to you a couple times, you're a genuine person. So, you know, I'm always going to support. You support me from day one, I'm going to support you.
Sir.
That's how it goes.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And I'm the same way, man. I like to support other people that are creative, following a dream. You know, everybody wasn't born rich and handsome and having all the opportunities in the world. Some of us have to work at it. And anybody that's willing to go out there and grind it out to go after their dream, that's the kind of person I'm going to support. And Jimmy, you're like me, brother. You're a go-getter. And, you know, respect deserves respect, man. So thank you. And I got your back in whatever your ventures are as well.
And Ed, I appreciate that, man. I really can't wait till you guys come up here, at least towards, if not New York, then Atlantic City, man. Because I'm going to be down there at least once a month. I got to go next month for the HorrorCon. Are you coming up for that?
I wish I could, brother. Matter of fact, a couple HorrorCons back, it's one of the places where they screened our film. And we actually won the audience award 2 HorrorCons ago with our film 100 Acres of Hell, the one that's getting distributed. So,
really?
Yeah, I love those guys. Have a great time with those guys. I would love to be there. Unfortunately, I don't believe I'm going to make it up there in October. I wish I could. Florida's a long way away, man, just for a weekend trip.
Oh, yeah. You can't. From where you're at, I mean, you have to spend a few days, man. It can't just be for a weekend. I mean, it's, you know, it takes planning, preparation, and all that. And I know you got all the things going on down there. So it's difficult, man. It's difficult.
Yeah, and I'm getting entrenched in the film scene down here. I'm starting to work on projects down here, working with people down here. A lot of people that are into the independent film thing in the Tampa area. It's becoming a little bit of a hotbed. And spending my weekends, you know, involving myself with those individuals. So on top of my film family up there with 100 Acres of Hell and, you know, Walking Dead Films and all the guys at Screenshot and KOA Nation Pictures and Jersey Lights Entertainment, I'm starting to develop a core group of people that I'm working with down here as well. So hoping to have a lot more things in the future to share.
Man, I'm excited about it, man. And, you know, everywhere, and you all like me, you remind me of my damn self, because everywhere you go, you network. You're moving and grooving out here, and I'm telling you, you're shaking and baking the industry. I'm going to see you on the big screen, I'm telling you, very soon. It's going to happen. I'm like, there he is. Big Ed, I'm excited
sure
about this.
I hope so, brother. I sure hope so.
No, I know so, man. I know so, because like you said, you used the word before, go-getter, okay? Or the words, I should say. And that's what you are, and I appreciate that, man. I respect that more than anything. It's a struggle. It's a struggle up here in the North, and anywhere you go nowadays, to kind of like pave your own way and do what you enjoy at the same time generating revenue. So, you know, to get things coordinated and to get everybody on the same page, especially for what you're doing, takes a lot of time, a lot of effort, and a lot of work. And I know that went into this film. I seen the trailer. It's phenomenal, man. It's definitely a film I can't wait to see. And I hope that they show it in theaters up here in New York, because I will be going over there to see it for sure. But I got to ask you, I don't mean to segue off of 100 Acres of Hell, because I'm still curious about this. With the Matt Rats movie, is there anything, any updates at all?
The updates are, a lot of it right now is tentative on how successful 100 Acres of Hell is. I've had different people that have had offers or interest in helping finance the film. But they want to make sure, I mean, these are people that invest because they want to make money, not just because they want to see me make art. So they see that 100 Acres of Hell could be a profitable venture, and that the people that laid money out to make the film can make their money back, plus a good amount of money, which the opportunity's there because we're able to make movies so inexpensively. Then a lot of people are interested in help us out with 100 Acres of Hell, with Matt Rats. We just need to be able to show them that we can be profitable in what we're currently doing.
Yeah, and that's what it is, because like the people that invest, they want to know that they're going to be making their money back and then some.
Exactly.
And that's just how it goes. Because money talks. I mean, I wish we had people. Ed. I wish we had people out there to say, you know what? Here's a cool $200,000. Do what you want with it. Have fun. As long as I get it back, maybe one day, someday, you know?
Brother, if life could be so easy, you know? The people that put money out for these sort of things. Also, there are so many productions out there, and there are so many films out there. And I know, being someone who produced a lot of small, low, and no-budget films before I did 100 Acres of Hell, I probably have, you know, 10 or 15 filmmakers that I gave money to make films. And I have to say, more than half the time, the film has never gotten made, never seen the light of day, never seen a screen, never seen a DVD. And there's so many circumstances like that that occur that, it, you know, it just goes to show the fortitude of what we were doing with 100 Acres of Hell. We weren't going to allow that to happen. It took us a while to produce the film through post-production and everything else, but we got it done. We're getting it distributed, and we're going to make sure that we do right by the people that, that had faith in us to do so. So, you know, I don't blame producers or people that are putting money in being apprehensive. That's why it's important to be able to show them something. We're hoping with 100 Acres of Hell, we'll definitely be able to do that.
Oh, I know you will. I seen the trailer. I'm telling you, I know it's gonna deliver, man.
Thanks.
And I'm gonna promote it all over the place. Every single aspect. I'm talking Twitter. I'm talking Instagram, man. Because all the horror fans out there, the horror family out there, you know, it's like the wrestling community. It stick together. You know, it's a tight community. And I've noticed that. I've noticed that over time and over the past, like, I would say month or so. So, especially speaking to Mikey, I mean, the horror community is, like I said, it's like a big family. And if you support that, you know, you put something out there, they support it, they retweet it, they spread the word. Word gets out quick on social media. It really does. And
yeah.
I just hope that we can make it, you know, blow up for you, man, even more than what it's already had.
Thank you, brother. I know that our distributor was very nice to give out a lot of screeners to people that have reviewed the film. And I have to say, overwhelming positive response. Obviously, we don't have the money to do the Avatar special effects or, you know, a major Nine Cinemas or 20th Century Fox type, you know, cast of thousands in this epic film. You know, we had what we had at our disposal. I think we pulled it off really well. And, you know, people are really receptive to that. Some people, and we put things up on our Facebook and Twitter page. One reviewer said it was the most fitting sequel to a Friday the 13th since the 1980s. And although the movie's not a sequel to Friday the 13th, I take that as a great compliment.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, because you're just equating us with one of the greatest horror franchises of all time. And then to say that our fight scene is reminiscent of the fight scene in They Live with Roddy Piper, that's awesome. And these are the type of things that are being said about the film. They like the score. They like the action. They like the characters. They like the acting. They like the premise. They like our bad guy, Jeb Tucker. And, man, that's just a dream come true, brother. And you know what? If we can take this thing and make a 200 Acres of Hell sequel and a 300 Acres of Hell sequel and really ride it out and develop a character and do something with some people that maybe have some more money to throw our way so we can have that epic cast of hundreds, I think we could do some really great things.
You know, and I know you can, man. And would you do that, though? I mean, if you had that opportunity, would it be like one of those franchises, like those classic vintage horror franchises? Because we haven't seen that in like a long time. I mean, I guess Saw was the last one, like, franchise-wise? I mean, am I wrong? I don't know. I haven't seen that in a long time.
You know what it is? I don't think we've seen that in a long time with the big-budget films, but there's a lot of independent films out there that are cranking out the sequels. They just don't get the notice. One that I'm pretty excited for, as you know, one of our cast members was Catherine Corcoran. She's in our movie. She was also one of the stars of Terrifier. And Terrifier was filmed in New York. It's got Art the Clown. And I don't mean to give promos, I don't even know the guy who directed it or produced it, but he just did a big crowdfunding or Kickstarter or something online where he was trying to raise like $50,000 to make one epic scene of carnage where like his killer was going to go out and kill multiple people in this one scene. And last I saw, he well exceeded that. I think he earned three times the money on his crowdfunding. And he's making a sequel. And anybody that's doing that and can do that with limited means and the genre that we're doing, man, I give the ultimate kudos to. And, you know, I'd love to see people take something, mold something, and create it into something. It's just an awesome thing to watch.
It is, man. It's art. It's art. Yeah. And I got to, you know, I was thinking about it myself because some of the things I do is it's very similar, like to, it's creative. You know, you have to create. I promote for some people and I come up with my own ideas, man. And how much time does that take for you, like, to sit here and just write something out like that? I mean, it's got to be very time consuming. I mean, what's the process like?
Well, I got to tell you, with 100 Acres of Hell, it was pretty easy for me because my partners, Gene Snitsky, who's a former WWE wrestler, and Jason Kerner were actually the ones who did the initial outline. So when I stepped in, they kind of had an outline already in place. And now we had to figure out how we were going to kill people, who was going to be our bad guy, how we were going to move people into the scene, and also what we had at our disposal to make it more engaging at an economic budget. You know, adding bikers and a helicopter we borrowed from somebody and all these cool elements and kind of placing them in and then stroking the story. So when you know what it is you're dealing with and you have at your disposal, making the story is easy. Crafting things from the heart is a little harder. I find myself writing a lot of things like Mat Rats, and I write it hoping that I'll have the money to film these scenes. I might only achieve 10% of what my overall wanted budget was, and then I'm going to have to change a lot of things. Instead of having this huge Rocky-esque match at the end, I might not be able to have it because I might not be able to afford to have 500 extras on set. Or if we become fortunate and we have a big studio behind us, then that'll be nothing for us to do. Because even if we couldn't get the people, they could always CGI it in. It really depends. You could write anything. Like if you gave me a premise right now, I could write it. How good it would be or how well it were received, you know, that's a whole different thing. But when you're creative, you're creative. You look at something, like I'm driving down the road and I'm listening to music and a thousand things go through my head. A thousand
I'm the same way.
Oh, they're just swirling, brother. You know, and I have to sometimes, as soon as I come home, write them all down. See, you're a creative person too, so you understand that.
Dude, I can tell you just like literally today, I'm just going to give an example. I got home in the shower and I had to do a promotion video for the Jersey Kid. So I posted something literally moments ago, about a half an hour before I called you. And I just thought of it. I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? He was right again today. The Texas Rangers, they win. They beat the Red Sox. So it popped in my head, Chuck Norris, some sort of Western scene. So I did like this little Western minute and a half clip, if you look on the Twitter. It's I don't know, it's a little outlandish, but it's funny, man.
That's great stuff.
And it's just, boom, it just popped in my head, man. It's just the creative juices start flowing, and it's like one thing leads to the next, and I don't know, man, it's awesome. It's great to create something. So that's bottom line what I'm saying here, man.
And I forget who said it, man. Great things create themselves. You're just the vessel, you know, and people have, there's all these ideas swirling around and things happening. That's why I always encourage people. They're like, I want to write. I want to do this. And I probably get 30 emails a week from people because I'm listed on IMDb as a producer and stuff. And people reach out to me and they're like, help me produce my film. And I'll be like, well, where are you at? And they'll be like, oh, I have this great idea. And I'm like, okay, well, do you have anything more than that? No, but I have this great idea. So listen, ideas, I have tons of ideas. What you need to do is you need to take those ideas. You need to go get yourself a notebook and you need to outline it from beginning to end. And then while you're doing it, it'll all fall into place. Then you need to write it or find someone to help you write it and then go from there. Because if you're creative, you just got to keep pushing forward. And you just got to keep going with it. You can't be deterred, man. You got to move forward.
No, you have to. And, you know, what I like to do, I just like to start from the end and then work my way back, you know, backwards, like sort of like a Quentin Tarantino film. But, for me, man, that's what I do. But I see just the creativity that you have just off of the 100 Acres of Hell movie. I see what the Mat Rats could be doing. I mean, what's your goal, like, financially? How much, if you don't mind me asking, how much?
We have it set up three or four different ways. The way I wrote it, I actually have like a 270-page version of the script, which could be an entire season of a show. Wow. We have a 120-page script, which could be a feature film. We put together a video, which we keep saying we're going to release it. We just haven't gotten to it yet. We're kind of waiting on the success of 100 Acres to put it out. Okay. We're going to do a crowdfunding for the first 30 pages that we'll pitch as a pilot for a TV series. Or the beginning of the film itself to find people that will give us completion funds to shoot the remaining 100 pages to actually make the feature film.
How much money do you think would need to go into it to create the film?
If we were just going to do a pilot episode, we could do that for around $30,000. If we're looking to do a feature film, even on the low end, because we are using union actors and union actresses and things of that nature, we need somewhere between $100,000 and $200,000. If a studio stepped in, they won't even touch anything unless it's $1 million. Truthfully, wow. I would go crazy with that kind of money because you know, for $1 million, I could make you Avatar.
Exactly.
I've never had that amount of money to work with on a film before. And I'm very, very good at budgeting. Anyone that's ever worked with me will tell you that. You know, I'll turn a penny into a dime. So, you know, working together with the right people that are really know how to work efficiently on a budget, we could make really, really great things happen on low studio money. But once again, the proof is in the pudding. 100 Acres of Hell comes out and people see that, and we release to them how much we made that movie for, which I won't put out here publicly. They're going to see that we can make a film for very, very, very low money that I'll put up there against any film 10 times the budget.
And you know, that's going to be it right there. That's going to be the kicker. When people see the film, they don't know how much it's spent on it. And then once you release that number, judging by what I've seen from just the trailer alone, I know it's going to be a damn good movie. So, yeah, no problem. And I'm being honest here. So when they see that and then they hear how much is spent, and then the big studios are like, what? Like, they're probably going to be baffled. And they might even step in. They might even step in for the Mat. I hope that happens. I hope they step in for the Mat Rats and you get some funding for that, man. Because I tell you, if I had it, I love the whole storyline behind it, man. I was trying to get you some you know, notoriety there with Busted Open Radio. Never happened yet, but we'll see.
Thanks,
what happens.
Brother.
Yeah, man. I'm trying to get it out there, you know, man.
I listen to that show all the time, man. I listen to those guys, and they seem like great guys. But at the end of the day, too, they don't know me. They don't owe us anything. We don't deserve to have people just give us shout outs for no reason.
Yeah.
The only thing I hope is that maybe they'll watch the film. If they watch 100 Acres of Hell, you know, Gene is a pretty well-known person in that industry, as was Samu and Apa Jr. and Lance and everybody else. Lance is an upcoming star in the wrestling circuit with the NXT and everything else. So hopefully everyone will give it a chance, watch it. And maybe off the strength of that, maybe they'll be kind enough to say a few words about our future endeavors.
Hey, you never know, man. I'm getting a foot in the door. I have like my pinky toe or my big toenail in the door.
Thanks,
of the business.
Thank you, brother. And I got to tell you, the radio show, I listen to it. I'm a Howard Stern listener, right?
Yeah.
But half the time I turn off Howard Stern and I tune in to Bust It Open. Because anymore, I just find that more engaging than even Howard Stern, which is a show I've been listening to for the last 20 plus years.
Jesus. Yeah. I'll tell you, man, it's hard not to listen for myself to Bust It Open. You know, I'm super busy as well, but I still manage to find some time, even if I break it down into different, you know, sections throughout the day, like a 1 hour here, 1 hour there, you know, to listen to the show, man. It's a damn good show. And if we can only get some sort of, mention, man, because I really want this movie to succeed. I mean, 100 Acres of Hell, it's out there, it's coming out in a week and a half. Okay,
yeah,
to be able to view it in select cities. So I'm excited. Hopefully, I get to see you somewhere over here in New York for real, like if it's close by me. Should be.
I'll send out all the details to you as soon as I get everything. And even if people can't see it in theaters, there's still the opportunity to stream it online. I don't know what streaming service they went with yet, but they're going to release all that information. See, what happens is once you put a film out there and you give it to a distributor, the distributor plays all the calls after that. Now you can call them and say, hey, listen, I have a theater that's interested in showing the film, and they'll discuss it with them. But once you hand your film over to that distributor, everything's in their court. But they've been great about keeping us in the loop on everything. So I can't wait to hear what theaters it's going to be in and what outlets you'll be able to get it on, both digitally and through DVD, October 15th.
So you're going to know this, though, very soon. You should know this with, like, the next week or so.
Yeah, they should. They're going to let us know within the next week so we can start plastering it all over our social media. We have a robust social media just off our Facebook page alone of us sharing the trailer, not even on YouTube and Vimeo and all that, just on Facebook. In like a week's time, the video, the trailer was watched 13,000 times.
Wow.
So that's pretty exciting stuff. That means it's touching a lot of people. A lot of people are seeing it. People are leaving positive feedback about it. Every once in a while, you get the one chucklehead who has some negative things to say. But that's what happens in life. You put yourself out there, you have to be open to criticism as much as you are accolades.
Oh yeah, believe me, I know. I've got my share, and that's why I think I created the the Jimmy Dinesh character myself because you gotta live your gimmick sometimes. And I love the fact that people don't know, is it a shoot? Is it a work? Is he really mean this, or is this just his character? I mean, I love that. I love that. I'm gonna leave that up for everybody to guess. But anyway, enough for me right here. I gotta say, man. A question I had for you, because this is the Atlantic City podcast. You talk about feedback and criticism. I had a couple people send me an email about one of the other episodes, a couple episodes ago, that veered off of the AC talking about Atlantic City, and you discussed a whole bunch of other things that had nothing to do with Atlantic City. So, I understood where they were coming from, which is, it happens. You talk criticism. Sure. I have that tendency to do so. I get off topic or whatnot, and I have this football section I added now, but that's also like gambling, if you think about it, sports betting and whatnot, because we talk about the spreads.
Even last week when you had Nightmare Worcester on, he's going to be appearing at a show that's in Atlantic City. Exactly. Or if you look at a film like our 100 Acres of Hell, it was produced in Atlantic City. When we conceptively came up with the film and everything, that was sitting in my office in Atlantic City with the guys, storyboarding and writing it out and filming the beginning of the film in Atlantic City. Toplitzky's, which is now a part of Tropicana, private residences in Atlantic City. The opening shots are our hero walking up and down the boardwalk in Atlantic City. So it's very much, it's a horror film, but it's very much an Atlantic City project. But I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just want to let the people listening to the show know that we're
happy
for film in Atlantic City. We have been since we made commercials for Bizarre AC, and we shot videos for the local film commission, and we even hosted a zombie walk in Atlantic City back in 2014 and 2013, which were hugely received. So our hearts in Atlantic City and our love for horror is also deeply seated in Atlantic City.
And you know what? I'm happy that you made that clear. I'm happy that you made that statement because, again, there's people going to be listening out there. I don't know. I don't understand sometimes why people can't just enjoy, the conversation or, whatever it is that we're talking about. I understand, people listen because they see AC, Atlantic City podcast. But that was my next point. Like this listener, Sand Crabs, out there that you're listening, the reason Big Ed is on the show, this is a guy, okay, and I'm hyping you up a little bit here, Ed, because
Thanks,
you need
brother.
A little hype. This is
Thank
a man
you.
That had served his time in Atlantic City, okay, as top security. I'm not going to call you a guard. You were management. You were the creme de la creme. You were the man, okay, for high-profile security, okay, for celebrities in Atlantic City for years. You filmed over there. You were a huge part of that community. That's why you're on the show. That's why we could talk about whatever we want to talk about. And that's why we're discussing right now 100 Acres of Hell, who, honestly, the movie, like you just stated, okay, has a lot to do with AC. There's shots that came exclusively from Atlantic City on the boardwalk, okay? And I have to ask you this question. What happened with I believe there was supposed to be some more footage filmed in Atlantic City. Wasn't there?
Now that you say that, Matt Rats, actually the promo that we shot was supposed to be Atlantic City. Our location fell through and we actually wound up filming up in Keensburg. And here's the funny thing, and I really want to impress upon people. We're trying to make a movie that's like Bad News Bears meets Rocky or Bad News Bears meets Vision Quest in Atlantic City, New Jersey. And every day I'm posting content, or every evening when I get home from work, I post content from Matt Rats to all the local Atlantic City art pages, Atlantic City film pages, Creative Atlantic City, all these things that are supposed to be building up Atlantic City, all these groups on Facebook and Twitter and message boards and everything else. And we get very little reception. But I go and film a promo in Keensburg, and I get 100 emails from people wanting to be involved in the project. So I love Atlantic City. And I quite openly put in a Twitter post one time because somebody jumped at me saying, hey, don't even use Atlantic City. A place is a toilet. The place is this. The place is that. I took offense to that because I'm a lover of Atlantic City. But I do have to say the reception is stronger other places. yet we find ourselves soldiering forward and really trying to use Atlantic City. So maybe that was a conversation we had offline that maybe I related to you, and maybe the communication got a little off.
Yeah, that might have been it. I'm sorry about it, though, man. I was a little confused because I was thinking about it. And you know how you're trying to remember something that was said, you know, a conversation that we have had. But I think you're right about that. I think it was a little while ago. You know, anyway, doesn't even matter. But the bottom line is, I want to touch on a point you made there with the reception from Atlantic City. It's kind of funny because I love Atlantic City too, but I can agree with you on that point because elsewhere, for instance, like over here in New York, I get a bigger reception, and it's surprising, even with the podcast. Like, I'm going to throw some numbers out there right now. 662, to be exact. There it is. That's the estimated listener count for this podcast. Mm-hmm. Nothing crazy. It's decent. For me, I think it's decent numbers. But
sure, it's great.
When I look at location, because they give me the analytics, more than half of the listeners come from New York. Then I have about, out of the other half, let's say 25% of them come from elsewhere, like Connecticut or, you know, Delaware and Maryland, North Carolina. And then 25% come from Jersey. So, and yeah, those are even in Atlantic City. I mean, it's just, it's weird.
It's probably not even Atlantic City. It's probably people that day trip down to Atlantic City or spend their weekends in Atlantic City from everywhere north of Monmouth County. And then they come down to Atlantic City on weekends. You know, it's kind of like the sports conundrum in Atlantic City. And I could speak about this firsthand because I ran security for several sports organizations in Atlantic City. Atlantic City, and I hope it's different for the Blackjacks, the new football team.
Yeah.
But I ran security at Boardwalk Hall for the Boardwalk Bullies. I was involved in the security for the Atlantic City Seagulls. I had a limited amount of involvement in the baseball team when it was there. There was another football team that I ran security for at the hall. What was his name? That was the Atlantic City. I forget, but it was another arena football team that was there in the city for one season. And they have to throw tickets for free to people in Atlantic City to get them to attend. And I don't just mean in Atlantic City itself, the greater Atlantic City area. And I think the reason why is if you live in Atlantic City, you're not really wanting to spend the money. If you live just outside of Atlantic City, you don't want to come back to where it is you work during the day to support a sports team. And once again, this is only my own personal feeling. I could be 100% off. So I think sports have always struggled because people don't support the sports in Atlantic City. So you have to have people coming in from Philadelphia and Trenton and stuff to support our sports in Atlantic City. And I think that's why it's very, very hard, because there's no support locally for these things. And if that's changed now, because I've been out of the market doing security for the last 2 years, then I'll completely take that back. But that was always my perception of it.
And, you know, it's more than sports that are struggling down there. I mean, they're just adding a supermarket into Atlantic City. Like, I don't remember the last time I spoke to an individual that lives right outside of AC, born and raised around there. He's a hip-hop artist, and you know, he told me they're just putting a supermarket over there. I mean, they don't even have a bowling alley. They used to, inside of the resorts.
They used to have one showboat. I remember that as a kid. They had a bowling alley in town itself. They had supermarkets. The CRDA, which is the organization on the behalf of the state, pretty much had to use funds to bring a supermarket into Atlantic City because no supermarket wanted to come into town. And once again, I'm not a politician. I can't speak on behalf of any of those things. I can only go by the scuttlebutt that I hear about town. But it seems like there's so many things in Atlantic City from an infrastructure standpoint can't exist unless the CRDA or somebody steps in to assist. Even like the football team and the events at Boardwalk Hall, these sporting events and everything, it's not like these are organizations that come into town and they're like, listen, we're going to set up here in Atlantic City. We're going to bring an event here, and we're going to do this. There's some kind of funding from either the state or the city that goes into financing these events, or these promoters or these companies wouldn't even come to town.
Wow. And, you know, it's crazy, man, because, like, I love AC. You know, a lot of people, you know, like us, I don't know if it's because that we just love to visit there, love the atmosphere, the environment. I don't know what it's like to live over there. I know that it's pretty rough on the outskirts. You know, every neighborhood, every town has its good and bad. But my goal for doing this, I mean, I just did this honestly in the beginning, and I think you knew this too. I did this for fun. I did this because I enjoy going down to AC. But I started to develop over the past few weeks, like, a bigger goal for this whole Atlantic City podcast, man. I kind of want to be like part of this whole revitalization. I mean, AC is revitalizing. I think sports betting is a large part to do with it. I'm trying to get down there and talk to even some local businesses. I spoke to a couple gentlemen. I think, you know, shout out to Leon Chachinsky. I got his name right this time. Saltwater Anglers Club, the founder, that fishing club. He's a good dude. A couple natives around Atlantic City. I'm really trying to bring awareness to things that are going on outside of the casinos and maybe try to help bring up the outside of, you know, AC, man, because of the fact that I love AC in general and really, you know, the casinos and the boardwalk. I don't know too much on the outside. I'm trying to find a little bit more out and trying to expand because for me, it's like a vacation. It's like a home away from home. And, you know, if I could do any sort of positive, not only in the town that I live in, but the towns that I enjoy, I'm going to do it. And that's the goal here, man.
I agree, brother. And for years, I was always the biggest proponent for Atlantic City. You know, people would come to town and just speak really poorly of Atlantic City. And I got to tell you, it's got some great things. It has the water, the beach. You could still get a piece of property on the water, you know, compared to other beachfront properties, you know, fairly economically. There's whole open sections. You know, over on the Rebel side of town, they're just waiting to be developed. You know, they're just, I'm sorry, when I say Rebel, I meant to say Ocean.
Ocean, yeah. No, wait. You mean the Marina?
Yeah, Ocean Club now, right? What's Rebel called now? Ocean?
Oh, yeah. It's called, it's called the Ocean. Yeah, there's a whole big lot right there, man. Like, right before you hit the ocean, there's a huge lot.
Yeah. And, you know, there's all this area to be developed. There's all these great things that can happen. There's all these things that could be really beneficial to Atlantic City, and I was always a big supporter of it. But I also noticed, being a supporter of Atlantic City, you're the first person to get taken down by firing squad. If you rah-rah-rah Atlantic City, man, somebody wants to take you down. It is crazy.
It's so weird, and I agree with you on that. Like, it's funny because I try to promote casinos and things going on there, and I'm on a couple Facebook groups. And there's some people in the groups that are like, well, we're natives. We don't like the casino. So the natives over there, a lot of them, they don't frequent the casinos. They don't even want to deal with them for some reason or another. I don't know. They think they took over the community or they're not given to, you know, to the community or whatnot. So that's the issue that the natives have, from what I understand. Not all of them, but a lot of them on some of these Facebook groups that I'm on. And then, you know, you have people that are just like tourists, and people like, I guess, myself would go down there and just enjoy being at the casino, and they don't know anything about the outskirts, and they would bash, like, oh, well, AC, you don't want to walk there, it's a bad area, and then they would just bash everything outside and call it just a dump. I mean, me, look, like I said, good and bad in every area. I want to enjoy the whole city, and that's the goal here, man. But it's kind of weird. AC is kind of weird. I love it.
It is weird, brother. I've met some of the greatest people I've ever met in Atlantic City. I've also met some of the most miserable people on earth in Atlantic City. And I think one time there was actually an official poll taken, and the poll said the two angriest cities on earth. And if you don't believe me, somebody go on Google right now and put angriest city, Atlantic City. There was a time Atlantic City was voted the angriest city on earth. And then they were happy when it moved to second place behind Moscow, Russia. So Russia were the angriest people on earth, and the people on Atlantic City were the second most angry. Now, how they went about this, how they did this poll, how they justify it, but it was like U.S. News or something that conducted this poll. It was a legitimate news organization that conducted this poll, and I guess they do this yearly, and Atlantic City always places in the top 10. Why, I don't know, but I will tell you, Atlantic City, it's very unusual. I love Atlantic City. Great people there, some horrible people there. But at the end of the day, you know, it's different than any other place on earth. The way people fear, not necessarily much pride in Atlantic City from some people. And then there's this abundance of pride for Atlantic City and others. So it's really interesting, man. I like to sit back and watch it. But given the opportunity, we make Matt Rats. I'll make Matt Rats to Atlantic City, what Rocky is for Philadelphia. I saw a woman who was a big-time news lady in Philadelphia, and she says, we need to get away from this culture. Philadelphia is so much more. And she actually used like the F word, the S word. She used some kind of expletive in her thing, saying we need to get away from this because we're so much more than just Rocky and cheesesteaks. So I immediately tweeted her back and was like, hey, miss, you know, not for nothing. Philadelphia being associated with cheesesteaks and Rocky is probably one of the greatest things ever. I can't think of something that's taken more people to Philadelphia than Rocky Balboa.
How you doing? I went over there. I went to the top of the steps in LA.
Exactly. And you know what? That's what I want to do with Matt Rats for Atlantic City. And if some people would just get behind us and support that, we'll do it.
That would be fucking awesome. I just dropped it right now. I came out of character. That would be awesome.
That's excitement. That's enthusiasm. That's the way people should feel about things. And that's the way people should feel about their hometown. And although I wasn't born in Atlantic City, I was born in Jersey City, New Jersey. And I emigrated to Atlantic City in my later years as a kid. And I have a love for Atlantic City, a genuine love for it. And if people just want to get behind it and support positive things, there are people in the city that do that. You got John Henderson, who's promoting all these events in Atlantic City. He's doing seafood festivals and beer fests and witch events. He's doing all these great things in Atlantic City. You got guys like Mark Berman, who every day is talking about Atlantic City and Absecon Island. And you got local news people that are doing all this stuff. Everybody needs to be on that bandwagon. Everybody needs to be together, and everybody needs to have a concerted effort all promoting Atlantic City. Like yourself, Jimmy J, they don't appreciate you enough for doing that.
Well, man, I appreciate you for appreciating me. And, you know, you mentioned a name there, Mr. Mark Berman. I try to get a hold of him. I think we're going to be having a conversation later on over the weekend. Well, today's Thursday now, so we're supposed to be this weekend. We should be having a conversation. So hopefully that goes well, and we can have him on, you know, for an interview. You and I speaking, dude, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't write anything down. Like, I just go off the cuff. Sorry, man. I don't have nothing structured. So, you know, I edit this as always, like if I need to take some things out here and there, but I really don't have it structured. I just, the first one, yeah, but then after that, I'm like, okay, we're just going off the cuff, you know, because I think I want it to be more smoother, and I want, you know, once we could just conversate like two regular dudes, man. And that's what we're doing right now.
That's right. And you are going to have a great conversation with Mark. And please give Mark my best when you talk to him. Mark is the personification of someone who loves Atlantic City. The guy, he owns a travel business, him and his wife. He can travel to Aruba. He can go here. He can go there. He chooses to be here in Atlantic City or there in Atlantic City because I'm now here in Tampa. He chooses to be in Atlantic City. He lives in Atlantic City. Every day you can find him at either the Irish pub or, you know, one of the wing joints down on the boardwalk. Or you can find him. He is the guy. He knows where to eat, where to drink, what shows to go to, who you go over and grease a five to get a front row seat at the concert. Mark Berman is that dude.
I need Mark on the show. All right, Mr. Berman, if you're listening to this, you got to be on the show now, and because Big Ed said so. I mean, that's it. We need to talk. We need to talk turkey, buddy. Okay, we're going to come on. We're going to talk AC. We're going to get down to business here. Yeah, I'm excited about that, man. I'm trying to – he'll most likely, you know, he answered me back. He's seen the message. He seemed receptive, so we're going to see what happens. We're going to see where this goes from here. But, you know, other than that, man, you know, thinking about it, just Atlantic City in general, like you said, it's like two extremes, though. It's like people that hate it and people that love it. There's really no in between.
And the funny thing is you have those two extremes of people that live in Atlantic City in the – the inner vicinity of Atlantic City or completely out of Atlantic City. I think I read there was a thing a few years ago. You know, all the press were picking it up when we were really at our low point and the Atlantic Club closed, you know, Santa's closed, you know, Revel had closed, Showboat had closed. This is bad. This is huge economic impact for the city. Four or 5,000 people immediately out of work and people calling it Detroit with a boardwalk. Now, I don't necessarily know that that's fair, or do I want to disparage Detroit like that? But the negativity was there, and it was there on a national scale. So the fact that it's rebounding the way it is, people should really support that and get behind it.
That's why I'm here. I'm part of the movement, man. I'm part of the movement because I've seen it. I was going to AC at its lowest point, at its highest point, and I think it's just going to get higher right now where we're at now. I mean, there's two other casinos. You look at it last year, Hard Rock and now the Ocean, which was the Revel, reopened, and everything, the gaming, the revenue is up monthly from last year. So, I mean, with all the casinos open, everybody's making money. So, obviously, something is being done right. I mean, I think sports betting has a large part to doing that, but I think it's also, you know, just the whole revitalization, man. You know, the Hard Rock theme, that's something new that added to AC, and then Ocean opening up, having all these different specials and promotions now, and everybody trying to draw people in because it's more than just casinos and gambling. Now it's the amenities, what they have to offer, yes. The shows, the restaurants, everything going on, and the Mat Rats. That's what it's going to be. Ed, I can see it, Ed. That's it. You guys are going to be, you know how they have the memorial, I think, at one end of the boardwalk, at the other end of the north side, in that big lot? It's going to be the statues of the Mat Rats. That's what it's going to be right there.
See? Brother, now you're talking. See, I've been watching these things like the 48 Blocks Initiative, where they have these artists painting these big murals on the side of buildings, and one of them's like a 1970-something yellow Camaro or Firebird with flames on it. And I'm thinking, hey, that's great. That's beautiful. That's an awesome piece of art. But what we need here is let's talk about the amazing films and things that we've had happen in Atlantic City. And not just Mat Rats, not just 100 Acres of Hell. We had movies like Atlantic City with Burt Lancaster and Susan Sarandon. All right? Put that up on the side of a building. We had all these other awesome shows and concerts and events and all these live things that have happened in Atlantic City. Let's plaster those all over. Let's make it something that people go there, get their picture with it. It's distinctly Atlantic City.
Listen, you're talking about, I believe, one of the oldest cities, established cities, or not the oldest, but I mean over here on the east, northeast. I could be wrong. I don't know. AC's been around for a very long time. I forgot the exact year. I found it when I was reading.
In the 1600s. It was Dr. Pitney. And I'm only doing this off the sign in my head. It was like the 1600s. There was a Dr. Pitney where you have Pitney Road and all that stuff out in Absecon and Galloway. And I think he was the one who bought the island and started to develop as a tourist or summer attraction for people. So We're talking hundreds of years. Sometime around that time, Atlantic City was... I don't necessarily know it was populated, but it's been around for a long time. I wish I really should know more about the history. I probably know more about the history of sports teams and venues in Atlantic City than I do the city itself. So I'm probably going to have to do some research and change that.
No, I need to do the same thing, man, because, I mean, listen, I'm juggling a lot of different things, but I definitely need to be a little more sharper when it comes to AC, especially I'm on a damn podcast. I'm on a podcast. I'm one of the hosts. I need to brush up, man. I'm giving myself some homework tonight. Don't worry about it. I'm gonna take care of this.
You're going to have three or four people that are handing you cards. You're going to be like Howard Stern back there. You're going to be watching your computer while you're broadcasting, and a whole team of people are just going to put information relative to what you're speaking on in front of the screen in front of you, and you will be like the ultimate guru of Atlantic City knowledge.
That's it, Banks. That might come on, people, a little bit quicker here. What are we talking about? No, man, it's funny, man. I can see it. But you know what? I think it's needed for that city. I think, like I said, there's two extremes, but there has to be somebody that brings those two extremes to a middle ground, okay, to a middle point. It has to be something that happens to that city that is going to really, bring everybody together in a way, because it's kind of like segregated. That's what I've realized, man, and it shouldn't be like that. And, why? Why is it like that? I mean, the city's fucking phenomenal, Ed, okay? If you really look at it, you look at the whole boardwalk. I mean, the oldest and longest, I know that much, the oldest and longest boardwalk in America, okay? Probably in the whole world.
There's all this great history, man. There's so many great things about it, man. It's the home of saltwater taffy. It's one of the first places to promote the Planters peanut. You have everything from the steel pier. You have everything, you know, there was the million-dollar pier. People like Frank Sinatra used to play there, Abbott and Costello. You know, you had Sammy Davis Jr. You had Dean Martin. You had the Rat Pack. You had all these people who used to perform in Atlantic City, hang in Atlantic City. Ball players, professional boxers. Dempsey used to have his boxing training there in Atlantic City.
Jack Dempsey.
Yeah, Jack Dempsey, Babe Ruth used to come down there, Hank Aaron, all these people. There's all this amazing things about Atlantic City. Mike Tyson used to train out of Pleasantville and run on the boardwalk of Atlantic City. And I think somebody really needs to showcase all these things and say, hey, look, man, this is what Atlantic City's contribution has been both to history and pop culture. And it's not necessarily about a new casino's coming to town. How can I use it to line my pockets? I think there's people that need to invest in the infrastructure and the history and all these wonderful things that have happened in Atlantic City and bring them to the forefront. And Jimmy J, I think you're that guy. You have the right people on your show. You have the right people talking about it. You're preserving a piece of history and you're letting people hear about it. And I don't think there's a greater contribution you can make in the name of the city than that.
You know, I appreciate that, man. I really do, man. I started again, and I said this how many times, I lost count. As just because of the fact that I love the city, but I'm really trying to do something now for the city. I'm trying to really, you know, showcase. Like you said, I'm trying to showcase the entire city, not just the casinos, but I have to brush up. I'm sure there are people that are listening to this that know more than me about the city. Like one right here, you're on right here, Ed. You know more. I mean, you taught me some things about the city, which I appreciate because I want to know more. I'm out there, and I'm admitting that I don't know everything about the city, but I'm out here because I'm trying to learn, and I'm trying to make everybody aware that this East Coast gem right here, this is the mecca of entertainment, the mecca of everything, I think, on the East Coast. West Coast got Vegas. We got AC, but AC is underrated as hell, and they need their time to shine, and I think that's how it is.
That's right, and do AC. And all these different groups and visit AC, and every day somebody should be on that Twitter handle or that Facebook page, and they should be saying, today in 19 whatever year it was, 62, the first indoor football game was played at Boardwalk Hall in Atlantic City. Or, you know, there's all these facts and trivia things. They flew a helicopter inside Boardwalk Hall. Donald Trump opened the Taj Mahal and tens of thousands of people showed up. Bruce Willis and Arnold Schwarzenegger show up and they open up a Planet Hollywood. There. Frank Sinatra is putting his hands in the concrete of resorts. And somebody should be showing all these classic heyday moments of Atlantic City to the world. Abbott and Costello, you know, one of the things I tweeted out from Facebook, and Leon from the Atlantic City Saltwater Anglers, he was actually the one who shared the picture originally. I'm not sure which pier it was. I think it was the Million Dollar Pier. And there's a woman trying to hold the Three Stooges back from each other while they have each other in headlocks, trying to poke each other. Guys, that's Atlantic City, man. You know, the diving horse, all these amazing things. There's a movie that's nothing about, that's about nothing but the girl who used to dive into the water with the diving horse. I mean, there's all these tidbits and awesome things and facts and everything about Atlantic City that I don't think get enough exposure.
Well, I know they don't. And you just named a lot of them. And, you know, just by you naming some of the things you did, it was Leon with that picture. I remember now on Twitter. Man, so I want to go back. I'm going to go back even when I get over. I'm sorry?
No, I was just saying thank you to Leon because that was a great picture. I loved that I showed. Matter of fact, I said, you know, some people say, why are you trying to make a movie in Atlantic City? And I say, well, if it's good enough for these guys, it's good enough for us.
Hey, and there it is, man. I'm telling you, like, it's underrated, Ed. It really is. And I know you're right. I have to be that guy, I think, Ed, because I don't think anybody else is going to do it.
Step up, bro. You got this. You got this. And I got your back, too. And I'm going to tell you, I'm here in Atlanta right now because I got some business stuff going on here. But I'm only a plane fly away back to Atlantic City. And when the chance presents itself for me to come back and make a further contribution in Atlantic City, you better believe I'm going to do it.
Oh, I know. I know you are, and I know you will. And I'm telling you, it's going to happen sooner than later. And if not, I'm flying out to Tampa. Just for the hell of it. If you need an extra, I'm your guy, and guess what, buddy? I'll do it for a nice hot meal, whatever it is.
It's 91 degrees right now. You could jump right in the pool.
91? Ed, hold that thought. We're going to wait. We're going to wait. It needs to get a little bit cool. I tell my wife she wants to go down to Florida. She wants to move down there. She lived in Ocala. No. Negative. It's too hot for me. I can't do it. I need to be in a bubble with air conditioning. It's not going to work. I mean, listen, when your sweat is sweating, there's a problem, Ed.
Hey, I'm a big guy. If anybody can tell you about sweat, it's me, brother. I'm a whole lot of man.
Oh, man. Let me ask you. I mean, can you fill up a water bottle at the end of the day with the sweat? Or are we talking about gallons?
I can fill up a water bottle the walk from my car back to the air conditioning in the house.
How do you do it? Why do you do it?
You know, if it weren't for business, I wouldn't be here, brother. Right now, I'm involved in some things that have to have me, here in this area. Okay. And they're panning out pretty well. And, you know, the film thing isn't what pays my bills full time. So hopefully in the future I can change that and have a little more latitude over it is where I reside. But right now I got to be where the money is.
Oh, absolutely. I can't knock you for that, man. I mean, so I'm over here in New York right now. I mean, if it was up to me, I'd be in Jersey. Not too far away, but I'm just saying, like, I would be traveling a little bit more, doing a little bit more towards the things I enjoy and I love. But, you know, we got to take care of business, man. We got bills. Right. Bills never stop, even when we're dead.
That is right.
So wrapping this up real quick over here, Ed, I want to talk one last thing about the Mat Rats and 100 Acres of Hell. If I don't know if you did this already, but do you have any crowdfunding going on or any sites you can give out right now?
I don't.
For people that are listening to support.
Yeah, anyone's welcome right now to go to 100. That's the number 100acresofhell.com. And although it's only like a 1 or 2 page website, it gives the overall information on 100 Acres of Hell. That'll be out next month from Indican Pictures. And for Mat Rats, you go to Mat, MatRats, Mat Rats Movie, MOVIE, MatRatsMovie.com. And that gives all the information of who's involved with the film so far. And I got to get this movie made, man. I got 10 and 11-year-old kids that aren't getting any younger. And if I wait much longer, I'm going to have to recast all these kids. And I don't want to because these kids are great. I got some great kids. I got, you know, obviously my son's one of the kids in the film. A couple great actors from up in the Keensburg, North Jersey, New York area. I have Lloyd Enawahi's son. He's The Rock's cousin. He's in the film. So I have all these great actors, you know, just great kids, great people. And I think they're going to be a great cast. So I need people to get behind the film and support us now. We're going to be putting up the crowdfunding very, very shortly. And anybody that could help us with that, I'd be more than appreciative.
Hey, listen, I got a whole, I'm telling you right now, because people have been asking. I'm not even lying to you. I've had a couple guests, not guests, excuse me. I had a couple of listeners actually asked me in the past on the last episode we did, about the movie, you know, and even to this day, like I've get a friend of mine, like he's really interested in the movie. I know that there are people out there that are listening to this and the people I know that are going to help you support the movie and help fund the movie. So I know for sure, I don't know what your number is, your goal, but you know, you have my support and my people and the listeners and some of the listeners out here. Their support for your movie, man, because I no bullshit, straightforward with you. There are people that listen and that want to hear more about the Mat Rats in 100 Acres of Hell. So I'm happy to have you on. I'm happy just to have you here, and they're happy now because they know, you know, what's going on with the movie. I mean, it's legit, man. So you got some love over here, man. New York or Maryland or wherever it is, North Carolina, wherever they're listening.
Thank you. And to all the people that are out there, you're also, I appreciate your support and thank you. And there's going to be plenty of opportunity to get involved too. Once I make the feature, I have this wrestling match at the end with these kids that I'm going to need extras. I'm going to need people to play referees. I'm going to need people to play the crowd. There's going to be so much chance for interaction in this film. So anybody and everybody that wants to be involved, there's a place for you. Feel free to send me a message right on the Facebook, Twitter page. I handle all the social media. for 100 Acres of Hell and Mat Rats. So if you send a message to the page, you're going to get in touch with me. Just reach out to Ed, and I'll be back in touch with you shortly. Any concerns, any questions, reach out to me. I got you.
What's the handle? I know it, but just...
Anything for 100 Acres of Hell is at 100 Acres of Hell, and for Mat Rats, at Mat Rats Movie. And that's on Facebook and Twitter, and for Mat Rats on Instagram.
All right, excellent, Ed. Man, I appreciate you coming back on the show. We're going to get this going. The Mat Rats, they're going to be there. They're going to be either on a mural or a statue.
Thank you, brother.
In Atlantic City. And when it's all said and done, it takes 10 years.
While we're talking statues, I just want to bring up one more thing and you can let me go. There's another statue that's needed in Atlantic City. At the corner of Georgia Avenue and Pacific Avenue in Atlantic City, Georgia Avenue and Pacific Avenue. That corner was named after Arturo Gatti. Arturo Gatti fought at the Boardwalk Hall 13 or 14 times to sell out or nearly sell out crowds. He was a Canadian fighter of Italian descent who trained out of Jersey City, New Jersey. They named that corner after him, and they said a statue was going to be put there on that corner of Arturo Gatti. And Arturo Gatti's one of the greatest fighters of all time. 2 or 3 times fight of the year. His trilogy of fights with Mickey Ward is nothing less than exceptional. He deserves to have his statue. And if nobody in the city or state is putting that together, that's an atrocity. So I'm a big proponent of Arturo Gatti not just having the name of a dressing room after him at Boardwalk Hall or being the Boardwalk Hall Wall of Fame. He needs to have a statue in the city. And then that's just the one thing I wanted to leave you while you were talking about statues, brother.
No, and I agree with you on that one, man. History lesson, people. Sand Crabs, you're getting a history lesson here with Big Ed McKeever. He's teaching me some things. I need to brush up on my AC history. Goddamn, I do the podcast. I don't even know half of these things. Shout out to you, Ed, the Mat Rats, 100 Acres of Hell team. You guys, man. You guys are like family already. I haven't even met any of you, but you're family. Okay?
Thank you,
bro. Because I know you're genuine people, man. So we're going to link up soon. Don't worry about it. I promise you. And as far as parts in the movie go, dude, don't worry about it. I'll be one of those crazy extras in the crowd with the Oak tag going absolutely insane. Okay, like David Arquette.
I got you. I see you as like a crazy referee or something.
Yeah, whatever you want, man. And I'm not charging. That's the best thing about it, man. Give me a nice hot meal. We're good. Doesn't matter. Whatever you need me for. It doesn't matter, man.
You got me. I think it's funny because a couple of the actors on the film were talking about craft services in the film on Twitter the other day. And I think I may have put my foot in my mouth because I think we were going to say we were going to do catering through White House Subs, White Castle, and I think it was Cheetos. And that's what happened. You have a bunch of 12-year-old kids tweeting what it is they want at craft services on a film.
Oh, man. White House Subs, legit. Legit. White Castle? Oh, man.
And Cheetos. And Cheetos.
Cheetos and Cheetos. Wow, if that is not like a bachelor diet, I don't know what is, man.
These kids will all weigh 300 pounds by the time we make the movie.
Oh, forget about it. I don't know what you got to change the name. They're not going to be called the Mat Rats anymore.
They're going to be called Fat Rats.
The Fat Rats. Oh, man. Ed, always a pleasure, man, to have you on, man. I appreciate
you. Thanks for having me on. I'll talk to you soon, brother. Thank you again.
Yes, sir. Will do, man. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, bro. Bye-bye.
All right, once again, big shout out to Big Ed McKeever. It is always a pleasure to have him on the show. Hopefully everybody out there enjoyed the trifecta, the third sit-down session, if you will, with Big Ed. And anytime I told him, and I'm going to say it again, he is more than welcome to come back on the show to promote anything that he has to promote. He's been a supporter since day one, and he has gotten my support from now to infinity. Till I'm in that ground, baby. But with that being said, we got to talk about the festivities going on this upcoming weekend in Atlantic City. Not a whole lot going on, but we're going to break down the top festivities happening. And we're going to start off at the Hard Rock
Foreigner returns at the Hard Rock this Friday, October the 4th, showtime, 8 p.m. at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, Atlantic City, and they are proud to announce the arrival of Foreigner. Having sold over 80 million records around the world, they're one of the best-selling artists of all time. Don't miss your chance to rock out to your favorite hits and see them perform live. Ticket prices, $59 to $99 and up. Contact information, 609-449-1000 if you need more info. Going down at the Hard Rock this Friday. But all the way down to the other side of the boardwalk on Saturday, October the 5th, Jefferson Starship is live at the Tropicana. Now, Jefferson Starship remains dedicated to breathing new life into the living catalog of the Jefferson legacy, going to the edge, pushing the sonic boundaries, and staying true to the original spirit of the music on and off the stage. Ticket prices, affordable. $25 to $35. This is a concert, man. It is definitely worth every single penny. If you need more information, contact 609-340-4000. That's right, 340-4000. You ready? You get it. You know what I'm saying here. Come on, zeros. Follow me here, people. Going down at Tropicana. Now, for the ladies at Tropicana, Saturday nights, okay, doors open 6:30 p.m., showtime 7:30 p.m., the Primal Men unleash the wild. Get ready for Primal Men male review as they unleash the wild for the first time ever at Boogie Nights in Tropicana, Atlantic City. Ladies, prepare to live out your wildest fantasies. And no, not when you're thinking about yours truly. But as the Primal Men show you the true nature of male entertainment with a truly tantalizing, sexy, and energetic show. With wild dance routines, state-of-the-art lighting, heart-pounding music, and video imagery, this is an experience that is sure to please. Now, you must be 21. Ticket prices, $30. And if you need more information, contact Tropicana 609-340-4000. Going down at historic Smithville, Village Green at the historic Smithville, that is, Oktoberfest, Saturday and Sunday, October 5th and 6th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., rain or shine, it is going to happen. Historic Smithville's famous Oktoberfest has over 100 Jord crafters, an international food court, music, kids' activities, nonprofit organizations, and more. All of this is in addition to over 60 shops, carousel ride, train rides, paddle boats, 7 eateries, and antique arcades that are already located at the village year-round. And get this, the admission, free. Free is me. If you do need more info, you can contact them 609-652-7777. And also, at Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall, Oktoberfest, October 5th and 6th, 11:30 a.m. to 2 a.m. in the morning. We're celebrating Oktoberfest the only way we know how to, the Tennessee Avenue way. We're tapping lots of Oktoberfest beers from German brewers, Paulner, Benedictiner, I can't even pronounce these names, Hacker, Prosure, Weinhestaffener, Spaten, and Warsteiner. And I'm telling you, I probably butchered that beyond belief. But plus, we'll have plenty of pumpkin beers from Weinbacher, Breckenridge, Spellbaum, Southern Tier, Conshecon, and we'll have everyone's favorite Down East Pumpkin Cider. So yeah, it is Oktoberfest going down at the Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall. And, well, Pumpkin Madness is running wild, brother. Go check it out. If you need more information, 609-541-4099. It looks like it's going to be a big Oktoberfest weekend in Atlantic City. And finally, at the Jim Whelan Boardwalk Hall, Saturday, October 5th and Sunday, October 6th, it is the Paw Patrol Live, Race to the Rescue. Show times, 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. Ticket prices, $19 to $59. And here we go. Listen up. It's the day of the Great Adventure Bay Race between Adventure Bay's Mayor Goodway and Foggy Bottom's Mayor Humdinger, but Mayor Goodway is nowhere to be found. Paw Patrol to the rescue. Ryder summons Marshall, Chase, Sky, Rubble, Rocky, Zoomer, and Everest to rescue Mayor Goodway and to the run the race in her place. Using their unique skills and teamwork, the pups show that no job is too big, no pup is too small, and share lessons for all ages about citizenship, social skills, and problem solving as they make several heroic rescues on their race to the finish line. Children over the age of one require a ticket. If you need more information, you can contact them directly, 1-888-228-4748. All this is going down this weekend in Atlantic City, so I hope to see you down there. And if you're going down there, please post on social media and tag me at bets_place on Twitter of your experiences. All right, so right now we are entering the sports betting section. And this week, week five of the NFL, man, there's a slew of games. On the list is 13 big games going down, and it's a tough week. It is a very tough week, people, but I see three particular games that stick out in my eyes and who you should go with, and here we go. We're going to start from the top, week 5, 1 p.m. games, and I'm going to start off with the Vikings at the Giants. Now, the Giants, they have been on a roll since Danny Dimes has stepped in and took over. Big Blue is making moves. And this week, they are going to continue to make moves. They got a tough challenge. The Vikings are a damn good team, damn good defensive team. But the spread, -5.5, and I don't think, even if the Vikings get the W here, I don't think they're going to win by more than 3. So I'm going Giants +5.5. I got to go with the hot hand. And right now, even though he threw 2 interceptions last week, he still pulled through with a huge victory over the Redskins. Daniel Jones is going to do it again. The Giants at home with the +5.5. You got to take Big Blue. Now, another game that I'm eyeballing right now as I speak to everybody out there, all my sand crabs, I got to go with Philadelphia. Eagles are home. They put on one hell of a performance against the Packers. And I got to say, if you're going up against a team that has been struggling and is going to continue to struggle, they are on their third string quarterback, and I'm talking about none other than the Jets. Now, the spread is a large spread here, but I believe the Eagles are going to cover that. 13.5 points are given to the Jets, and they are taken away from the Eagles. I think the Eagles are going to win this and probably win by a landslide. I think they're going to win by like 20 to 21 points here. Eagles are home, -13.5. I'm going with the Eagles. They're going to win by a landslide. I mean, it's a no-brainer here. Jets have been horrible all around. Eagles are just making big moves with a huge victory last week over the Packers. They are going to beat the Jets, and they're going to beat them badly. Go with the Eagles, -13.5. And the third and final game I'm going to throw out there to everybody, I just said their name, Green Bay, the Packers. Now, they got the +3.5, and they're at Dallas. Dallas has -3.5, and you might be saying, Jimmy, you are completely out of your mind right now. But listen up. The Cowboys, they have a solid team. Yes, they are good on defense. Yes, the Packers' defense is not that great. But we're talking about Aaron Rodgers. The man stands alone on his own planet. Aaron Rodgers has made phenomenal things happen. And I think they are going to bounce back this week. Do I think they're going to get the win? I don't think so. Dallas is home, but I don't think they're going to lose by more than 3 points. That half a point definitely will come in handy. I got Green Bay and Cowboys. The Cowboys winning 24-21. But Green Bay winning with the spread. The Cheeseheads go over in this one. So trust me when I tell you, you got 3 games here on the lineup for Sunday. Bet on these games, and if you win some money, just give Jimmy J a shout out, and good luck. And remember, bet smart. Don't overdo it. Know what you can afford to lose. That is what I tell everybody out there. If you're going to bet or gamble, you have to bet what you know you can afford to lose. Don't be a degenerate. Don't try to chase your money after you spent all the money that you can afford to lose. That's how people go bankrupt. That's how bad things happen, okay? So stay focused. That's the bottom line here. But with that being said, we're going to wrap it up this week. Episode number 22. 22, my lucky number, man. And I got to say, I'm appreciative. I am grateful for everybody who listens to this podcast, everybody who supports me, supports the brand, whether it's on Patreon or just, again, just listening and just appreciating this podcast and what I do for Atlantic City. And the direction I want to move in and into in the future episodes after this horror series is more about AC. I want to focus on small businesses down there and people that when you hear their name, they're like synonymous with Atlantic City. Eventually, hopefully one day that name, my name, will be one of those names. But right now, there are a couple individuals that just scream Atlantic City, and I want to have them on the show so we can talk everything about AC. I want to bring up some more historic facts, and I want to give a special thank you to two people right now. One being one of my supporters since day one. Actually, both of them are supporters since damn near day one. Atlantic City J. I want to give you a special shout out. He sent me an email with some feedback, and he really got me thinking and got me back on the right track of things. And, you know, I appreciate that, man. I really do. And I want to link up with you eventually when I get down to AC. We could talk Atlantic City. But I do want to tell you live, or not live as I record. This is pre-recorded, damn it. But on this podcast, I want to give you a special thank you. And I appreciate your support on the Patreon. You don't have to do that. But again, it means the world to me. So hopefully we can link up. And of course, Big Ed, another individual who has been a supporter since damn near day one. And after this conversation we had today, between both of those individuals, I mean, they really had me thinking about which direction I should move into with the podcast. I want to make this as entertaining as possible. I want to make it informative and let you guys and girls know, all my sand crabs know, where to go in Atlantic City this weekend and what's going on in AC. All the latest news and some interviews sprinkled here and there. So that's my goal, man. And I have some guests, some great guests that are going to be lined up right after this horror series. I got a couple businesses cinched in. They gave me their word. They're going to be on the podcast. I have a couple people that when you say their name, it's like synonymous to Atlantic City. And hopefully one day that's going to be my name as well. So it's going to be some very interesting conversations coming up before the end of the year. I want to schedule a live meetup down in AC, so stay tuned. I'm working the things out, some kinks out with that one. That probably won't happen till after the new year, so that's future. That's down the line. But as of right now, you're going to hear these melodious tones piping through your speakerphone each and every week. And if I'm not enough for you, I got another group of guys, another couple guys out there that do a podcast for AC. Do for a Win. They've been doing it for a long time, longer than me. I've been listening to them, and they also inspire me to start this podcast. Craig, Kyle, big shout out to those guys at Do for a Win. Please support them as well. Go listen to their podcast. They are very informative, more informative than me, and I'm the first to say it right there. They know AC, okay? So go check them out. Go give them a listen. I appreciate you guys, too, and also coming on the show. You guys are more than welcome anytime to come on to the show, and we can talk AC. I hope that you're going to be down there when I hit AC for the big meetup, but stay tuned for that and those dates coming up. Sand Crabs, if you're going to head down to Atlantic City this weekend, place a bet on that roulette on number 22 and 27 for yours truly, Jimmy J. And have a safe and blessed weekend. And let's do AC.